Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Unfortunately, it's ouch indeed, John Weideman. Blackhawks suffer their seventh straight loss. They fall to the Winnipeg Jets tonight at the United Center, 7-2, as the Jets come in to Chicago and somewhat dominate this game, and the city of Chicago for that matter, 0-2 against the Jets on this Sunday. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight. And if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. They will have to wait for a moment, though, because we're going to bring in Kaylee Chelios here to the broadcast, who's been on the call with John Weideman tonight up at the United Center radio booth. And Kaylee, I know you and John just tried to dissect it in the final 20 minutes, but this was another tough one to swallow, and it comes against a Jets team that already played very well against the Blackhawks in their last meeting. The Jets now outscoring the Hawks 11-2 in just two games. What is it about this Winnipeg team that makes it very difficult for the Blackhawks right now?
Exactly. I think it was two different games. The one back in Winnipeg, you know, they scored three power play goals, and they also scored the shorthanded. So special teams was the dominant difference maker. I guess that's where the Jets were able to get an edge. Tonight, I don't think, was quite the same. Unfortunately, I thought the Hawks got out to a good start. They had their legs. They were skating. That top line looked like they were right on the money, and then their goal was disallowed. And I think that sort of changed the complexion of the game. Winnipeg started to take over in that first period, outshot them, but it was just a 1-0 game. And then I think some of that negative, you know, energy seeped into the second and third period. So there were a lot of things you can kind of rip on, I guess, to say tonight in some of the details that were lost. But I think in the final few minutes of the game, I was at least satisfied with the effort of certain players all the way to the end, even though it was very out of hand at that point. It would have been easier to kind of mail it in and, you know, let Winnipeg continue to run circles. But I thought, you know, Connor Murphy lays a big hit. Reese Johnson gets entangled with it. You know, Max Domi is right in the mix, too. So it wasn't a complete, just loss of hope. But it certainly got out of hand at times, and this is not a team built to be able to do that. It has to be a five-man unit and a full effort from start to finish for this group to have success.
Well, and something else that you were mentioning earlier in the broadcast, Kaylee, was this: these games have to be somewhat draining on this Blackhawks team. We've talked about missing pieces and missing players, and that plays a factor, that plays a role. You've got different types of losses over the past week. You've got the game in Pittsburgh where you make the comeback, but you can't fully overcome it. You've got the devastating loss in Dallas, and then you've got the Montreal game where, you know, you lose in what Luke Richardson called a crapshoot of the shootout, in which Kirby Dach ends up scoring the game-winning goal in the shootout. And then you've got tonight where it seemed like they were below Winnipeg. I know you've been saying that you were pleased with the Blackhawks' start, but it was just a game where it seemed like they were trying to tread water. And when they weren't, they started to sink. And only a few times they came up for air with the Radish goal and the Kara goal. But Winnipeg was just kind of ruthless tonight and made it very difficult for the Hawks to get anything going offensively for sustained pressure. You know, it was just very difficult for the Blackhawks to get any type of rhythm, it seemed.
I agree with you completely. They lost their structure, too. I mean, the defense have to chip in. They need to have their D contributing. They have to be able to make smart plays, get the puck to the net. But there were multiple times in the second and third, especially, where the defensemen would make a bad pinch. There wouldn't be puck support. And then the Hawks started giving up odd-numbered opportunities. And that's one thing in the beginning of the season when they were in these one-goal games, win or lose, but playing some pretty good hockey, that they were doing well. They were limiting other teams' odd-man and outnumbered attacks against them, and that was not the case tonight. So if you do that and you turn the puck over in your own zone against a team that has players like Winnipeg does in their top six, you're asking for trouble. And like I had mentioned to John Weideman earlier, I really felt like the second goal from Mantalainen was the one that maybe he'd look back and think he could have taken a better angle, because Seth Jones kind of forced him on that left shot, left side board to take a, you know, he allowed him to challenge the shooter, and unfortunately it was kind of a perfect shot, but Mrazek, that's the only one that he may want to get back, if at all. But either way, his team did not do enough in front of him to be able to mount any sort of a comeback. So you're right. These types of losses are going to weigh on you, and they're starting to spiral, and it's going to be a matter of the leadership group and Luke Richardson, you know, trying to evaluate, assess, and against Edmonton on Wednesday, respond.
Yeah, I mean, again, these have been different losses. We've had different ways to dissect and pull out positives. Tonight's a little bit tougher to do that. If you had to, Kaylee, is there anything that you could point out that maybe the Hawks were doing better earlier on in the year that allowed them to pick up those wins in those close one-goal games that hasn't been happening lately, or is it much more vague than that?
Well, I think for a while they were playing well and playing fairly consistently, and some teams just were underestimating them. Some teams were, you could feel that there was a bit of a feeling out process, not knowing what to expect from this team. And I think in some of those one goal games where they were just coming up on the losing end after a stretch of time, you could just kind of feel their confidence dwindling at times, and not to start games, but during games. I mean, holding on to the puck longer than you should, not successfully, you know, making that D-to-D pass. I felt like in the beginning of the season they were a bit more predictable, and that's what coaches want. You want to know you're going to get that D-to-D pass, one pass, and it's out of the zone. That first pass has got to be out. So it comes to managing the puck well in their own zone. I don't think that they've done that very well against some of these top teams they've faced, and you know, that's where you start to cheat and you give up more outnumbered attacks the way they did tonight. And this team's just not built to be able to play an 82-game season where you're giving up 3-goal deficits. You can't keep coming back that way. It gets tiring. And teams like Winnipeg, Pittsburgh, Dallas, all fighting for a top spot in the Central, with the exception of Pittsburgh, I mean, they're going to make you pay. And they were all kind of coming into their own as the Hawks went up against them.
Well, the one good thing about a rough game like this is we can easily move away from it and move on. And, well, maybe you guys, maybe not me. I got to take this post game up to 9:30 tonight. But, I mean, looking ahead, the Blackhawks are welcoming in Edmonton on Wednesday. It was a fun matchup the last time these two teams got matched up here at the United Center. It was a back-and-forth game, a Connor McDavid hat trick, and it did go to Edmonton. But the Hawks played tough in that game. And I'd imagine same type of effort, because they'll have a couple of days off, of course, practice and such, but 2 days until their next game. You get another tough opponent. You know what you're getting in the Edmonton Oilers, and another chance for redemption there. So that would be enough for me to believe that Wednesday's matchup against Edmonton would still be an entertaining one to watch.
Yeah, I think every team that goes and plays against Connor McDavid in particular, too, I mean, it's always exciting. You're just kind of in awe at what he can do on the ice. And as a fan myself, I love when he and Dreisaitl come to the UC, or we get to go see some of the superstars live. They probably won't be able to get away with spotting them a lead like they did last time. And McDavid is pretty incredible, and, you know, Jake McCabe said it, I think, the last time they played him. There has to be an awareness of where he is at all times on the ice, and you have to try to do your best to close the gap and keep him as far to the perimeter as possible. Easier said than done, but I do think having these 2 days to rest, recover, and practice are going to be really valuable for the Hawks, and then again, they'll have another couple days between games on Saturday and have a chance to do the same thing. So it's got to be a reset right now mentality for the Blackhawks. You can't get too low, can't get too high, and right now they're just seeing a really difficult part of the season. It's growing pains with a new group, and they'll have to get past it.
For sure. All right, Kaylee, great stuff as always. Great job on the broadcast, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday when Edmonton comes to town.
All right, looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
All right, that is Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weineman with the call tonight here at the United Center as the Blackhawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 7-2 with the loss. The Hawks move to 6-11-4. They've now dropped seven straight games. The Winnipeg Jets now 13-6-1. They came into this game tied for second in the Central with the Colorado Avalanche behind the Dallas Stars. Winnipeg also picking up five wins in their last nine games. They're off to a very good start, played a very good game here at the United Center. But again, I don't think that the Blackhawks would be able to justify a 7-2 loss. Definitely one to move on from and just look ahead to the next game against the Edmonton Oilers. Again, that'll be on Wednesday. And a late puck drop, too, here at the UC. An 8:30 puck drop. It'll be a national broadcast against Edmonton. So if you are planning on coming out to that game, just a reminder how late that one starts. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. We already got one from Tim from Urbana. Can't quite say it, though. There's just too many FCC rules to share what he's speaking on his mind. Let's get to the three-star selection for tonight's game, though, which is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. And, of course, my computer's freezing up a little bit right now. And here we go. Josh Morrissey, the number one star in tonight's game for the Winnipeg Jets. Kyle Connor picks up the number two star. And Pierre-Luc Dubois with the number three star in tonight's game, with the Winnipeg Jets taking down the Blackhawks 7-2 here at the United Center. We're hoping to hear from Luke Richardson and a Blackhawk or two from the locker room. We'll also get to a replay of tonight's game in terms of the highlights. And a whole lot of Jets goals to highlight, unfortunately. And again, we'll hear from you, 312-981-7200. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 9:30 tonight, recapping a 7-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets here on 720 WGN. The Blackhawks losing skid stretches out to seven straight games after a 7-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets here at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show here on 720 WGN, taking you up to 9:30 tonight. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls. This one coming from the 647 area code. Hi, Joe. It's been hard to watch these games, but I know they can eventually turn it around. I just hope that it happens sooner rather than later. Thank you for reading my text. No problem, 647. I'm sure a lot of Blackhawks fans share your opinion right now. Of course, no one likes to see these types of games. Let's look at the last seven-game losing skid for the Hawks. Today is one you can immediately move on from. Nothing really to pull positively from this game. You go to the Montreal game on Friday, contest in which the Blackhawks nearly had 2 points, had an opportunity to take 2 points in regulation. Montreal, somewhat of a similar team, but definitely off to a better start, probably, possibly more talent on that roster. Before that, the Dallas game, which things just completely fell apart in the final 10 minutes after the Blackhawks put up possibly their best 40 minutes of hockey to start the game. Prior to that, the Pittsburgh game, the Blackhawks erase a 3-0 deficit to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They quickly cough up the tie game, though. And the only games that you can kind of equate to each other so far this season are these two Winnipeg games. Let's point that out. Winnipeg has definitely had the Blackhawks number this year. In the Boston game a couple weeks ago when they lost to the Bruins 6-1. But let's also keep in mind how good of a start the Boston Bruins have gotten off to this year. And as the 647 texter points out, well, at least their opinion, I know they can eventually turn it around. That is the whole point of this. And I'm not poking fun at the texter. I'm just trying to remind people that this is year one of a rebuild. For the most part, people understand that. But it's sometimes a reality check with these types of games that this is what happens. The Blackhawks are missing some guys like Tyler Johnson and Sam Lafferty. That doesn't justify a 7-2 loss. That's not what I'm saying. But it can, I think, make a difference between a 7-2 loss and maybe a 3-2 loss or a closer game. And Kaylee had brought it up earlier in the broadcast. These types of games can start to drain a team. Luke Richardson said earlier today that he thinks that the coaching staff is doing a good job staying focused right now in terms of making sure these guys are only worrying about the effort, what they can control, and not so much the outcome. Obviously, that is tough to justify with a 7-2 loss, but these are the types of things that are going to happen. The most important thing for the Hawks right now is to move on and focus on Edmonton in a couple of days, because the Oilers are no walk in the park, clearly, and they have a lot of talent, more than the Jets, so it'll be interesting to see what type of response the Blackhawks will have in a couple of days. And I will say, anytime they've had a really rough loss, like tonight, they've been able to bounce back. And maybe it doesn't come with a win, but they have been able to bounce back. And we get another text from our buddy Tim from Urbana. Either the Hawks are completely incompetent or they're throwing games. Which is it? We only hear from Tim when the Hawks lose. I'll say that every broadcast. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. Let's get to how it sounded at the United Center tonight. And unfortunately, we should be starting with a Blackhawks goal. It looked like Andreas Athanasiou had scored quickly into the hockey game, as it appeared that he got a perfect feed from Patrick Kane. And, well, here's how it sounded at the UC.
Kane took it to the slot, drops it off, they score! It's Andreas Athanasiou following up and poke-checking the puck in behind Hellebuyck. And the Blackhawks take a 1-0 lead.
And they're going to take a look at this upstairs. Not exactly sure what they'll be looking for. Possibly an offside at the Jets' line.
Following the coach's challenge, it was determined the play was offside. No goal.
And it was offside. It was a good call by the officials. In fact, when it happened in real time, I was kind of surprised that they didn't blow the whistle. I think Max Domi got tangled in there a little bit, but the Blackhawks looking like they were going to jump out to a 1-0 lead. And that looked to be so huge for the Hawks, too, because Winnipeg came out with a great start. They had the first 5 of 6 shots on goal. Not only that, the chemistry with that first line of Athanasiou, Domi, and Kane was on display today, and it looked like they were going to pick up a 1-0 lead. Unfortunately, it was overturned, and the Hawks weren't able to hang on to that lead. And then later on, after a media timeout, the Winnipeg Jets continued their offensive pressure and picked up the first goal of the game.
There's a shot from the line by Morrissey. Turned out of there. The rebound, they score. In front of the Hawk net, Jansen Harkins cleaning up the garbage. Was able to shovel a backhander past Peter Mrazek, and the Jets have taken a 1-0 lead.
Tough to criticize Peter Mrazek on this goal. Like John had said, a whole bunch of traffic in front of the net, and so much that Mrazek tried to make a sprawling save, and before you knew it, he was kind of turned around. And Jansen Harkin's shot nearly got blocked by Mrazek in that instance, too, as he was able to stick out his goalie stick and nearly redirect it, or rather direct it away from the net, but it just was able to sneak in inside the right post. So a 1-0 lead for Winnipeg. That first period, not all that great. The Hawks are down 1-0. They're outshot 17-6, but they did have some offensive opportunities, not to mention the goal that was overturned, but there were some things to make you think that, okay, the Blackhawks will have a fighting shot in this second period. We moved into the second period, and Winnipeg quickly doubled up their lead.
Then Alainen will flip it down to the left wing corner, Hawk zone. Jack Johnson had it, checked off of it there in front. Barron with a shot, save is made, and the rebound, then Alainen shoots and scores. This is that line for the Jets I just spoke about. They work tirelessly, and they produce a scoring chance and a goal. Saku Menalainen putting it in behind Peter Mrazek. The goal at 2:55 of the second period makes it 2-0 Jets.
And John was talking about that line quite a bit tonight. I should mention, I kind of skipped past this. Towards the end of the first period, Andreas Athanasiou was pretty frustrated that the officials didn't call an elbowing penalty on Adam Lowry, as Athanasiou got pinned. Well, I should say first he got elbowed in the face by Lowry, and then he collided with Isamont, and it was just kind of a rough circumstance for Athanasiou. I can understand why he's quickly frustrated, he's quickly agitated that there was no call made, because he went down hard and he lost his stick, he lost one of his gloves, and then later on, because there was no call, he threw his glove onto the ice, just trying to continue to express his displeasure. But no call made, and then once we got a little look at it, it did seem like it was just, if there's no call being made on the elbow, it's tough to call for anything on Athanasiou colliding with Isamont, because it was just a rough spot at the rough time, and neither Athanasiou or Isamont had known where exactly they could have avoided that collision. Anyway, right before the beginning of the second period, it seemed like Athanasiou went to talk to Adam Lowry over in the Jets zone. Not entirely sure what the exchange was right there, but there was a little bit of communication. So the Blackhawks down 2-0. Things looking a little bleak as they already had some trouble getting things going offensively. But then they found a little bit of life thanks to Taylor Radish.
Jake McKay passing to the slot. Kurashev shoots, and it's off the chest. We don't score! Taylor Radish battling at the top of the Jets crease. Picked up a rebound and snapped it in behind Connor Hellebuck. That's the kind of answer the Hawks needed. 2 goals in 17 seconds. And the Hawks are on the board, trailing 2-1.
And it's also goals in back-to-back games for Taylor Radish. That's the fourth time he's done it in his career, three of those times with the Chicago Blackhawks. As again, he has been a great addition to this Hawks team after coming over in the trade for Brandon Hagel, manifested by Kyle Davidson, freshly taking over the GM role last year. So the Hawks on the board, things looking a little bit better. They're only down by a goal, but Winnipeg continued to pile on their pressure. And after a Morgan Barron hooking penalty, the Blackhawks had an opportunity with a man advantage and started to get some good penetration into the Jets zone, some good passing going on, and then all of a sudden just a really rough sequence, especially for Seth Jones, who just missed a pass to Patrick Kane, little bit short, little bit slow. It was quickly picked off by Winnipeg. They brought it down the other way and started getting an offensive drive. And then just a real rough occurrence where Seth Jones is behind Winnipeg's net. He sticks his stick out and got called for tripping. And I will say that the call was questionable. John and Kaylee were questioning it at the moment as well. It wipes out the Blackhawks' power play. It puts it 4-on-4. Winnipeg's already on a lot of momentum in that instance. And then shortly after that, Caleb Jones was charged with a tripping penalty. So all of a sudden, you've got the Jones brothers in the penalty box, and it's a 4-on-3 for the Winnipeg Jets, and they would get eventually a 5-on-3. That's what they did, and that's how they scored again.
Wheeler, left wing corner, moves it into the high slot to Morrissey. Over to Connor, one-timer, he scores! Well, the Hawks could not get it clear. Had they been able to, that would have killed off, I believe, enough time to where the Hawks could have at least gotten Seth Jones out of the box. But good containment by the Jets in the Hawks zone, keeping the play alive, and eventually Kyle Connor scoring from the right wing circle on the power play, making it 3-1 in favor of the Jets.
But it was exceptionally rough for Peter Mrazek, who had a couple of big saves in a 5-on-3 situation. But Connor nets it, his eighth goal of the season, and Winnipeg is up 3-1. Later on, they would pick up another goal.
Here are the Jets up ice, Mantalainen down the left wing, Hawks zone, fires, he scores! His second goal of the game makes it 4-1. Winnipeg with 10:08 left in period number three.
Making things somewhat impossible for the Blackhawks to overcome, but they were able to get some things going. And here's what was just another example of how difficult it was for the Blackhawks. As much as Winnipeg was kind of just shoving their offense down their throats, the Hawks finally get it out of their zone. They start to generate some momentum in Winnipeg's end. They get a couple of shots on goal in sequence, and then one of the shots gets deflected high into the air, into the netting, stopping the clock, and you go to a media timeout. And of course, that's all part of the game, but at that instance right there, it's just another opportunity for the Blackhawks to continue their momentum, and unfortunately, it gets immediately halted. Luckily, later on, Dominic Toninato was charged with a tripping penalty. He went into the box. Blackhawks get on the power play, and they were able to capitalize.
Caleb Jones standing at the blue line in the deep slot. He'll fire one toward the net. It just missed. Taves on the rebound. Axel Kara shoots and scores! It's a power play goal, and the Hawks climb back within a deuce, trailing the Jets. It's 4-2 Winnipeg with 4:51 left in period number two.
Kara's third goal on the season, being told it's also his first career power play goal. Great to see his hard work effort paying off, though. Hawks are within two goals, things looking a little bit better. Before we can give you more of the bad news, a quick break for station identification. So if we picked up where we just left off, it was 4-2 Winnipeg after a Jujhar Kara goal to get the Blackhawks back within two. But the Winnipeg Jets would not let this second period end without picking up another goal.
Perfetti into the Hawks zone, right wing side. Got it across to Wheeler, put it in front. Scheifele shoots and scores. Outstanding puck movement by that Jets trio. Perfetti, Wheeler, and the guy that ended up scoring the goal, Mark Scheifele. I mean, it was tape to tape to tape all the way. That was a pretty goal, and now the Jets are back on top.
5-2.
As Kaylee had mentioned earlier, everything was coming up Jets. Another goal for Winnipeg. They've got a 3-goal lead. Last chance for the Hawks being the final 20 minutes of the game wasn't too much favorable. 4 minutes and 37 seconds into the period, Winnipeg picked up another goal.
Connor down the left wing into the Hawks zone. Drops it off to the charging Dubois. He fires it toward the Hawk net. They score. I believe this hit a Hawk player stick and deflected past Peter Mrazek. And with 15:23 left in the third period, it's now 6-2 in favor of the Jets.
And another instance in this game where it was a complete 180 swing, because Seth Jones had taken the puck all the way down the length of the ice and nearly weaved in to net a goal in this game. But it was a good stop coming from Winnipeg's goaltender, Connor Hellebuyck, who had a great night tonight, by the way. The Blackhawks had a couple of extra jamming tries to force one in, and then it ended up going the other way. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his 9th goal of the season. And then later on, Pierre-Luc Dubois would net another one.
Dubois beside the net. He tried to wrap it in front. Knocked out of there by Mrazek, but the Jets retain possession. Morrissey with a long shot. They score! This may have been tipped by one of the Jets on the way in. Either way, it's a power play goal, and the Jets now extend their lead to 7-2.
It did end up being credited to Pierre-Luc Dubois, his 10th of the season. Morrissey, his 19th assist. Connor, his 12th assist. And a 7th goal for Winnipeg as they beat the Blackhawks 7-2 tonight here from the United Center. With the loss, the Hawks have now lost 7 straight. The Winnipeg Jets pick up their 5th win in their last 9 games. The Hawks fall to 6-11-4 on the season. Winnipeg is now 13-6-1. Kevin Wells has returned from the dressing room and the podium. We are going to hear from, it sounds like, only Jonathan Toews and Luke Richardson. Kevin Wells reporting that Jonathan Toews was the only Blackhawk made available in the Hawks dressing room, so we'll definitely keep it tuned to hear what the captain has to say about this 7-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets, and then we'll also hear from Richardson as well. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show here on 720 WGN. A 7-2 loss for the Blackhawks tonight here at the United Center. The Winnipeg Jets are now 2-0 against the Hawks. They have outscored them 11-2. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 9:30 tonight. Rough loss for Luke Richardson's club. Let's hear what the Blackhawks head coach had to say.
It is, but you know, I mean, you know, we look at chances in between periods, and we had unbelievably to think we had lots of good chances in the ozone. It's just we are sometimes just unaware in certain areas defending, and it just seems like you play good teams with Shifley's and Connors, and they're going to score. So, you know, there's definitely, that's going to be a key. We got to obviously score more goals to win a game, but we can't give up the goals that we're giving up right now. And you know, I thought even last game, you know, there were some dangerous chances by Montreal, so we definitely got to clean up coming back to our zone and being better and quicker in our zone, because it's not going to get any easier. You got Edmonton coming in and then the Rangers and all that. So that's just a focus on us. Like we usually break out the puck really well together when we're back doing a good job in the middle. So we just got to just keep working on that and getting better at that to help get out of this frustrating stage.
Difference that after the game the room was closed?
I don't go in too much. I usually just go in when we win, which hasn't been much lately, to see you know, who wins the team. I'd like to see the team celebrate together and who they give the honor to, but you know, I don't know what really was said after the dressing room. I know there was some frustration at the end of the first period, and really there shouldn't be, because I didn't think we had our best first period. I thought we were better in the second and third in the offensive zone, but just not good enough defensively for this league.
Max Domi was talking about tiny little mistakes before the game, and it seemed like there was a recurrence of several mistakes, untimely penalties, you know, the Roos deflected goal, Reese Johnson again told him about roughing the wrong time. It seemed like some of those mistakes were cascading.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the game, you know, Reese, I don't know if that much makes a big difference. Like, oh, it's not a tie game or a crucial point of the game. I think he's just frustrated and trying to get something going out there, but definitely not probably the smartest way to go about it. You know, younger guy learns if you want to start something, you maybe go run one of their best players and then they come to you. So, you know, got to figure that out, right? You know, like, just on the I think it was a Shifley goal in the second period. When we track back, I think it was JJ Carr. Like, when you track back and you pass off to the D, same as in the penalty kill, you got to float to the inside and have your stick to the inside. We just got to protect that area. And those are those little things that Max is probably referring to, and he's right, and we got to get better at that. And, I think more pace. You know, I think we had more pace to our game earlier in the season, and that doesn't mean being risky and passing pucks through people. That just means skating. And I thought, Athanasio, I thought he's had three pretty good games, and he's given us some speed and some chances and some goals. So, we have to all kind of refer to that and go to that offensively and defensively, but a little bit more smartly defensively. Sometimes we're there and we're working. We're just not working smart enough.
When the losses are piling up like this, what can you do as a coach to prevent the guys from spiraling?
You know what? I have to be consistent. I have to be consistent. We show video, we show corrections, and we show the good stuff. We show both. And I think you have to stay on that. You have to stay on that. I'm not going to yell and scream and this and that. Like, there's little mistakes, and some of them are by overtrying. And I think you just have to make them aware of it and make sure that we get better at it. We can't just say, oh, yeah, I should have done better. We have to act better. Otherwise, in the NHL, your time doesn't last long. Someone else is going to get a try. So we have to make sure that we give the players the most information without overwhelming them to get better every day. And that's individually, but also as a team. There's certain things that we can do individually with players, and then there's teams we got to do. There's things we got to clean up as a team and show everybody. So that's what we'll do. Tomorrow's a scheduled day off for the players. And, we notice everybody's sniffling, and it's that time of the year, not feeling the best. But at the NHL, I mentioned before the game, I said, we didn't have a great energy level last game. The energy level at times was better tonight, but just not smart. So you got to clear your head and be professional and play 82 games. And realize that one night, if you're not going, you have to do the little details that maybe Max is talking about to get through that game.
Scored first. How tough is it when you're trying to break out of this losing streak and you're playing from behind?
Yeah, it is. I think, we got to, worry about our complete game, not just scoring first. And then if we want to get into trading chances with Winnipeg or Edmonton or the Rangers, I don't think that's going to end up very well going up and down the ice. So I think we need to play a little bit harder physically. And that doesn't mean running guys through it just means being in front of them, slowing them down for our D, and then we're in good position to get a pass from our D offensively and start skating forward. So, everything is frustrating right now, but I think last game, no one gets out of this except for yourself. So we are a team, the coaches are with the players, and we're going to try and help them get a better start, maybe get that first goal and feel more confident going in that first period, because if we get out of the first period, it was 1-0 tonight, and then they go up 2-0, we score right away, and then we had a breakaway right off the next faceoff. If we score, maybe it's a different. Maybe we dial in a little bit deeper and instead of playing a little bit more spread apart. So, I think it could help, but we can't just snap our fingers and do it. We have to work for it.
After the no call thing. About did you think that was interference?
I didn't really see it. I just saw him holding it. I thought it was a stick. So when I looked at the replay, it's not really the elbow. I think it was Lowry holding him off. That wasn't really a hard elbow. It was I think it might have been 23 or number 12 stepped in front of him, and that's a pick. That's interference. So, and he ran into him. So that's probably not a high sticking or elbowing penalty, but it's definitely interference. But you know what? We have to be skating. We have to have more energy in our game. And I think referees, when you're doing that, you're going to create more hooking penalties, more interference penalties. So we have to earn those. We have to get them.
Yeah, again, that's what we were talking about earlier, what Athanasiou was upset with towards the end of that first period. It initially started with what looked to be an elbowing by Adam Lowry, but Richardson's assessment was right, probably not. But it was Athanasiou's collision with Asamont is what brought Athanasiou down, and then the frustration ensued, and then nothing being called, and the end of the first period, and all of a sudden, tempers are flaring a little bit more. And just, again, just a rough situation at that point for Athens. So you wanted to pull out another thing that Luke Richardson had to say in terms of the Blackhawks' mistakes leading to over-trying. This is one of those snowball games where things were going bad, they went to worse. Winnipeg not only was just seeming to be in full flight, no pun intended, but everything they wanted to do offensively would work. There was a sequence in the third period where the Blackhawks were just seeming to rush their passes a little bit too quickly. There were only a couple of bodies of Winnipeg in the Hawks zone, but they had been so good at disrupting plays so much tonight. The Blackhawks may have just been a little bit too antsy to try to get the puck off their stick. Hot potato. They don't want to make the mistake right now, so I'm going to pass it to somebody else to get it away from Winnipeg. And they just were rushing these passes and couldn't get a clean exit out of their own zone. And, I mean, that was a good 40 seconds right then and there. And, of course, that's very, very small compared to 60 minutes of a hockey game. But it's those types of things that can start to build the frustration and the inability to get things going offensively. Captain Jonathan Toews was the only one made available to the media today in the locker room. Let's hear from 19.
So how would you describe the effort of the game tonight?
Yeah, obviously it's not a fun feeling to throw out a performance like that in your own building. Again, the positives, yeah, I mean, I think there's moments where we work for the bounces offensively. There's ways we can keep that game close and find ways mentally to keep our energy. And ultimately, you know, we're kind of in a situation here where we've lost quite a few games, and it's not a good feeling. And it's easy when you don't get those bounces to let it deflate you, I guess. And collectively, I think we just got to be a little bit more mentally strong and know that we're in this situation. We got to work ourselves out of it, and we got to work for those bounces. And all in all, I think we look back to a couple of games ago against Dallas. I think there was a really good effort across the board, and you know, it's not the result we wanted, obviously, in that game. But there's a lot of little things across 40, 50 minutes, and in these last two. You know, the energy and the jump's not there, but even if it's not, we got to find ways to play together as a team and make things more difficult on the other team. And you know, as a group, though, we'll keep talking and we'll find ways to work ourselves out of it. I think we know what we have to do and how to make things easier for the next guy. And you know, those little cliches you want to talk about, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Is that the message in the room afterwards? Did you say something? Did Luke say something?
Again, I mean, specifically, I'm never going to really get into the specifics about what's being said in the locker room, but all in all, I think we all agree that as a group, we need to be more mentally prepared, even if there's nights where it's a long season and sometimes you don't have your energy, you don't have it, and you just got to find ways to play a better team game and keep yourself in games. And sometimes when you work to do that, things start going your way, you get a couple goals, and all of a sudden it gives you that little burst of energy that you're looking for. So, we just kind of fed into what they wanted to do as a team, and we got away from our team game today. So it's all those little details aside from, you know, just our preparation and making sure we're getting each other ready to go and playing the right way so that, you know, we can go out there and give ourselves a chance to create the results that we want.
How much of an emphasis is scoring the first goal? I know you guys have fallen behind in 8 straight. Is that playing from behind? Is it just like, let's just get ourselves a lead at some point?
Yeah, and that's just something that happens when you go out there and you're ready to go right off the first puck drop. And, you know, again, we didn't maybe get that bounce tonight that we're looking for, but that's not what should discourage you ultimately and take you off your game for the next 40, 50 minutes. So that's not an excuse, but it definitely helps to score that first goal. But it doesn't really matter the situation. We got to start better and the rest will follow.
When the losses pile up, does it tend to seep into the mindset?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's never a good feeling, but I think that's just one of those things you have to work through. As a group and individually, there's times when if you don't feel like that confidence is there and that energy is there, and you just got to work through it and you got to work your way out of it. There's no way around it, really.
Wanted to pull out a point on Twitter, not directed at me, just kind of a general thought. Somebody frustrated with the fact that Luke Richardson didn't go into the locker room after this game. Richardson had mentioned that he only tends to go in not right away and maybe after wins or to address things. The team has responded so well to Luke Richardson's handling of them. They love how he, and this is a quote from Taves himself, how Luke Richardson treats them like men, like grown adults. I think that's part of it. And we know that Richardson's not a guy that's just going to be barging into the room and screaming and peeling the paint off the walls. He's going to be a guy that tries to make this team learn from this game by pointing out what they did well and moving on from it. I understand why people are frustrated after a 7-2 loss, but it is important to keep everything in perspective and remind it. Again, this is year one of a rebuild. Last chance to chime in, 312-981-7200. We'll take our last break, wrap things up in the Blackhawks postgame show after a 7-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. You're listening to 720 WGN. We're going to go ahead and give Jujhar Khera our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. Jujhar Khera with his third goal of the season, and we're being told his first career power play goal. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show as the Hawks fall to Winnipeg 7-2 tonight at the United Center. Let's take a look around the league, and we'll start in Minnesota.
Gosses bear back. Erickson X stapled him to the glass. Bouncing puck came out in front. They score! Kaprizov off a nice play from Joel Erickson X. It's a 9-game point streak for the talented Russian. That's a career best, and the Wild have a 1-0 lead.
And a 3-point game for Kaprizov as well. That's Joe O'Donnell of KFAN 100.3 as the Wild take down the Arizona Coyotes 4-3 Minnesota with its 10th win on the season. Let's go to Anaheim.
Off the draw, Jordan Eberle will take control of it from his knees in front. McCann, he scores! What a play off the faceoff. Jared McCann in front of the net, roofs it in past Gibson, and the Kraken take a 1-0 lead 33 seconds into the opening period.
That's Everett Fitzhugh of Kraken Radio. The Seattle Kraken now with a 5-4 lead over the Anaheim Ducks. Time ticking away in that third period. Troy Terry scoring a goal on his bobblehead night as Seattle is looking for its 13th win of the season. Let's go to San Jose.
Hoglander sweeps the puck around. Myers moves down from the right point. Beaten to the puck by Nieto, but now Miller sends it to Horvat. Back to Burrows. Scores! Kyle Burrows with a rocket. And the Canucks have opened the scoring in San Jose.
That is John Shorthouse of Rogers Sportsnet Pacific as the Sharks and Canucks are tied up at 3. They're heading into overtime over in San Jose, who's ending their homestand. The Canucks looking for their third straight win. The Blackhawks' next game will be against Edmonton here at the United Center, an 8:30 puck drop and 8 o'clock pregame right here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives, United Airlines, and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help back at the WGN studios. Jack Heinrich, I think, did triple duty today, maybe quadruple. He was along with Ben Anderson on the producing side as Brett Jackson and Krista Flores handled our engineering. Here at the United Center, Kevin Wells is in the locker room. We have Nick Heppner turning the dials, John Weideman on play-by-play, and Kaylee Chelios doing color commentary. I'm Joe Brand. Once again, the Blackhawks fall to Winnipeg 7-2 here from the United Center. Next game will be on Wednesday against Edmonton. News is next. After that, more WGN programming. Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks broadcast here on 720 WGN.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN. Streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.